This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBolay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Open for Business. The Sustainer has the ambition to improve health spans of consumers by growing fresh superfoods at the heart of Asia's mega cities. Through the disruptive superfoods growing technology that the world's first ISO 2200 certified indoor farm, they serve their customers with the freshest locally grown produce. Their philosophy is that eating well will not just add years to your life, but life to your years. I'm speaking to their new CEO, Jack Moy. Good morning, Jack.
Morning, Frida. Pleasure to be here in the show.
So I call it Sustainer. I got the pronunciation correct.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Let's start with the history of Sustainer. A little bit about the founders.
Yes. So Sustainer was founded by Benjamin Swan and Martin Levu, who are two wonderful, innovative co-founders. It was 2013 when they first started the business, and Ben was Australian, and having moved to Singapore, he quickly realized the stark difference in quality of fresh produce between Singapore and Australia. And a lot of times he quickly realized that it's not the fault of any of the markets, but purely because the supply chain of having to import produce into Singapore was just so long. And by then the quality of produce would have deteriorated. So what Ben and Martin focused on was to build on technology and create an ecosystem that enables a business to grow produce right at the heart of the demand. Mm-hmm. And there were two big objectives. The first objective was to compete against imported produce so that we can increase local food resilience. And secondly, is for the consumers, being able to bring the freshest, most nutritious produce to our consumers within 1 hour from the harvest. So those were the big ambitions that we have. And yeah, that was how we started. The founders toured the world to look for the right technologies. And it was quite challenging at the time because nobody really focused on indoor farming at the time. So they built everything from scratch. And it took a few years before we started putting things together, and we started doing commercialization of the produce. Of course, as a farm, most important thing is to make sure that we don't just grow good produce, but we can sell the produce. And that was the time when I actually met with Ben and Martin, and I joined the team as sales manager. So I was focused on providing the insights on how do you build the route to market, and how do you ensure that the great produce that we grow reaches our consumers, and our consumers get to enjoy it because we are able to make sure that the produce are in the stores that they visit and at every moment that they want fresh produce.
All right. So 2013, so almost 10 years right now. I can imagine it was quite radical at that time, right? And you've been with the company for a few years, coming from Unilever as well. I think you said you were there probably almost at the inception, right? What compelled you to join the company?
So I was in school at a time where sustainability and environmental science just became a very big topic. And I took an elective in school where we learned a lot about why it's important to not just do business, but make sure you do business for good. And that was a time where many companies started going a lot around this direction. And none were more thought-leading than Paul Polman in Unilever, where he shared about doubling the business while having the environmental impact. So I made a very big effort to join Unilever at that time. And it's been a fantastic 6 years that I spent with Unilever, learning a lot, but also being able to understand this whole concept where it's not just about making money in business, but also businesses have such big impact on consumers that we are able to influence them for the better. And we ourselves have such a big impact. If we commit to doing away, let's say, with plastics, then you can see the whole industry and society improves as such. In 2017, I met with Ben and Martin, the founders of Sustainer, and I felt that, wow, this was a fantastic opportunity because not just is Sustainear all about sustainability. As you are aware, Sustainear actually comes from the word sustainability. Not just that, but at the heart of what we are doing is growing produce, and fresh produce is all about nutrition, freshness. So right. We are not just talking about sustainability, but there's a potential for a local startup here to genuinely make a positive impact to people and right. communities. And most importantly, the produce that we are growing are really, really good for the consumers. So right. I took the plunge and they say magic is everywhere. You just have to believe it to see it. And I believed in the magic. And right now I'm living the moment with the team where we truly believe that our produce is making an impact to lives and inspiring people, hopefully, to do better in their life and have better health spans.
Right. And when you talk about the technology, you know, was it all developed here or was, I know that the Netherlands is very aggressive in this area and they've got something going on. Did we take best practices from the Netherlands?
So when we first started, Ben and Martin toured the world to visit all the top institutions. And of course, there's already Dr. Google and Professor YouTube at the time. So there's a lot of learning in public spaces. So they made decisions on what would be the best ecosystem stack for Sustainear. And Ben himself also filed a patent on a grow system that we have since implemented. So at the start, it was a lot of building our own technology and building our own technical stack. And eventually, what we have right now in most of our systems are that the bulk of the technologies are owned by us. But at the same time, in the last few years, we can see many of the big technology players are coming in and they have been able to improve different parts of technology stack from AI to environment control systems, to LED lights, to best-in-class seats. So what we have increasingly done is to acknowledge what we have, but at the same time, work with the best-in-class partners, because at the end of the day, our ambition is to grow the most nutritious produce. And secondly, we want to grow more produce with the lowest environmental impact. So it's very important for us to work with the best partners, and that's how we see our ecosystem right now.
Right. Okay. Now, I'm just thinking of how this is done, the farms. How are the farms in Singapore and Hong Kong? So you all use buildings? Where do you grow them? Because that's these highly dense areas, right? How are they grown in Singapore and Hong Kong?
So the magical thing for Sustainear is that we have created a plug-and-play system that can go into light industrial areas or even office spaces. So this enables us to deploy our farms and fit out in existing building spaces, and we are able to grow very, very quickly in a very short space of time. And there was a story from a fact that happened in 2020 where at the height of COVID, because of supply chain disruptions, we actually worked with the Singapore government to see how we could ramp up local food production in Singapore. And we were able to, from getting the keys of the unit to set up, to growing the first props, we actually only took 100 days. So within 100 days, we were able to from end to end, build up the farm and grow our first crop of produce. And the farm was 1,600 square meters. Right. And we grow a good, more than 200 tons a year over there. And we have replicated similarly in KL as well, where we built a pilot farm in partnership with Giant Hypermarket. So that was another initiative that we did early last year.
Right.
So just a little bit back to the growing technology. So we grow in a closed-loop hydroponic system. Mm. And that's a system that uses 95% less water. Mm-hmm. And what our system does is to utilize LED lights and environmental controls that allows us to stack our produce vertically. And this would enable us to grow more with less resources. But more importantly, we get control. And this means that we can control the output of the crops, be it the quantity or the quality, such as the nutritional levels.
Right. So we'll talk a little bit about the state of play as well in Malaysia. You know, what are people saying in just a moment. I'm here with Jack Moy from Sustainier. Stay tuned to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Open for Business will reopen in a few moments. Powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Business, finance, and more. BFM 89.9.
Open for Business is powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
This is Frida Liu. If you've just joined us, you're listening to Open for Business. I'm speaking to Jack Moy from Sustainier. And Sustainier is very interesting because they're using state-of-the-art technology. We're talking about indoor farms, right? Out of Singapore, Hong Kong, and also in Malaysia. So what are some of the misconceptions that are still facing, right? Do people say things like, oh, but there's no soil? You know, that, what are people saying? Or have we come to terms with acceptance?
So I think generally the biggest misconception is that how we grow is organic. We understand that organic is the trust standard right now. But at the same time, realistically, when you talk to consumers, and we have done a big survey with many consumers in cities like Singapore, Kuala Lumpur, and Hong Kong, that consumers at the end of the day are concerned with nutrition, safety, and taste. So what we have shared with them is that we are not organic, because organic requires you to use soy to grow your produce, and we use hydroponics. But at the same time, organic actually permits you to use some sort of organic fertilizers, pesticides, sorry. And what we have focused on, because we grow in a controlled environment, is that we can go completely pesticide-free. And by growing indoors, of course, we are pollutant and heavy metal-free as well. So I would say we are different from organic. And right now, as it is, organic means growing in soy, and we are not. So that's the biggest misconception that we normally have to share with people. But as an end product, we think that we are equally good, if not better, in terms of nutrition, safety, and taste that they care about.
Right. Do you think they will change? I mean, the definition of organic, I think that's probably a conversation that will happen in years to come. And one of the things is also, I understand that you talk about waste reduction. How so?
Yeah, so waste is a dirty word in our company and in the industry, and it's something that we actively declare war on. And there are a lot of areas where we think about. It could be in areas of production where we see produce that are not good enough to be sellable, and that's one sort of waste. And the second sort of waste is even more damning, which is good quality produce that is not being able to get sold or get consumed by consumers. So we are actively looking into these two areas of waste. On the first area of waste, of course, we try to identify ways or methods that can reduce the waste. Is it due to nutrition levels of our crops? Are they developing particular illnesses or leaf being yellow because of lack of nutrients? I think that's the first area we want to look at. But the second area we want to look at is how do we make the best of this if we have already minimized it?
Right.
So if we have already minimized it and we think that actually there's still some good nutrition inside, just that it looks unappetizing for people, then we look for solutions and we create value-added products by upcycling through making, in Singapore, we have spinach noodles, we have pestos, and those are the initiatives that we are interested to look at. And of course, if we can blend them to serve some of the animals in the zoo, that'll be our pleasure as well. Right. But the intention is to make sure that whatever input that we provide, there is output, and the output is able to find an end user that can benefit from it.
Right. You know, and understand the mission is to enable consumers to hashtag live larger in life by eating one bag of Sustainer superfoods every day. And that's, I guess, a great mission. How do you plan to support this mission, though, in the things that you do?
So Sustainer's vision is to nourish people and planet one leaf at a time. And when we talk about nourishing people, main priority is to ensure that people eat well, so that we don't just add years to your life, but you add life to your years. And the key is to improve your health span, meaning the number of years that a consumer is healthy. I think that's the most important, right? We don't want to live a long life, but we are full of illnesses and we're not able to enjoy life. So that's the main priority for us, which is why we are growing the 100% clean, nutritious produce that we are. Second part on this is nourishing the planet. We believe in bringing a positive impact to communities, cities, and the environment. Hence, we are very focused on being able to grow more produce with less resources. And at the same time, in terms of communities, we focus a lot on inclusive employment and how do we make sure that our output is being discharged sustainably as well. So those are areas that we are focused on. And we newly were recognized as a B Corp organization as well for some of the work that we have done in benefiting the communities that we operate in.
Right.
But the third part, the last part of the vision is the most important, which is one leaf at a time. We believe that health, wellness, and acting sustainability are all very personal in nature. Hence, we are not here to talk big about saving the world. We don't profess to save the world and we don't think we can. But our passion and joy lies in engaging and interacting with consumers one leaf at a time so that we hopefully can inspire them to eat better, do better, and act sustainably, be it reducing the number of minutes you take in your shower or not using a plastic bag. I think that's the direction that we are taking. And we know that, in Southeast Asia, sustainability is a very personal decision, same as health and wellness. So that will be our focus from bottoms up.
You mentioned B Corp. What exactly is this B Corp?
So B Corp is a private certification of for-profit companies that rigorously assess businesses on the positive impacts of a business, not just environmentally, but in terms of our governance, in terms of our impact, and in terms of our impact for the community and workers. So it's a recognition of our efforts. But at the same time, it's also a guiding framework and it spurs on to do even better as we make decisions on how do we benefit our communities responsibly in the future. So going back to my motivation as well, not just about making money, but more importantly, our impact on every city that we go to. We want to have a positive impact to every city that we are operating in.
Right. And you talked about in terms of how you operate, what you mentioned something about inclusive employment, right? What are some of the things that you do in this area?
So for us, we believe in growing locally for locals and by locals. So with our technology of being able to control the environment, we find ways to grow produce to the attributes that consumers like them. So if they like their kale less bitter, we will find a way to alter or improve the environment so that the attributes are exuded. That's our priority. But in terms of employment, we also want to make sure that the people growing for you in the city of Kuala Lumpur, for example, are also people who stay around the area. So when we set up a farm where we are right now in Kajang, we make sure that we bring in and hire locals. And we are very proud of that right now, in that across all the three cities that we operate in, I think Singapore, we have 2/3 of our team being locals, but in Hong Kong and Malaysia, 100% of our team are completely local. So that's the first step that we do, which is to bring employment back in agri, in a new industry, back to the cities where agri is not a common role, but is now viable because of the improved efficiency that we are getting. The other thing that we are doing is to simplify our processes. And increasingly over the last 12 months, we have simplified the processes and made them repeatable and routine And we have been able to work with different organizations to bring in people with disabilities to work in our farms.
Right.
And in fact, many of them have green fingers. They can do the seeding and germination better than me and some of the leadership team members. So we are very happy to have them. And that's something that we want to continue. And we think that that will positively benefit the ecosystem and the industry.
Right. One third of the remaining one third of the people in Singapore are Malaysians. Okay. Right. So are there any plans to, you know, go beyond Singapore, Malaysia and Hong Kong, or, you know, or are we just focusing on increasing the output in these countries for now?
So what we want to do is to deepen our existing footprint in the existing markets. We see a lot of opportunities in Singapore, Hong Kong, and Kuala Lumpur. In Kuala Lumpur, we have a pilot farm in partnership with Giant. So we see a lot of opportunities. And at the same time, when we speak to consumers, they are resonating the same needs of nutritious, tasty and safe produce. And at the same time, it resonates very clearly about their frustration of not being able to get access to the best quality, freshest produce. So what we intend to do is to set up a bigger farm in the existing markets, and it will already leverage on our partners. And what will delight our partners and consumers is that we intend to bring more produce, but we are also more focused on growing produce that we know that consumers in the different cities really desire.
Right.
So we hope to bring more good quality produce, which are clean, to all our consumers.
Right. Is fundraising a focus at the moment as well?
We are currently in the midst of a Series B fundraise.
Mm-hmm.
So main intention is to realize this ambition to become a superfoods business.
Right.
A lot of work towards how do we make our produce even more nutritious than it is today.
Right.
And secondly, what we want to do is to build bigger farms so we have more output and we are able to meet the needs of the consumers.
Right. You know, what about price, right? The price of the consumer, is it comparable to what is being sold at the moment?
So I can give you an example. Our Kinky Kale right now retails for 850 ringgit. So that's Curly Kale. In terms of the market, I would say we are very much on price parity with the other brands out there. So I would say even against the imported produce, we are either on parity or we have made sure that we are a little bit at a discount to them. So we make sure that our products are accessible, not just to the affluent consumers, but also down to the mid-tier as well.
And when you look at consumers in Singapore, Malaysia, and Hong Kong, in terms of their taste, are we similar? How are we different?
I think generally across the three cities so far, the preferences are quite similar.
Okay.
The only difference I would highlight in Hong Kong is that they are, when you tell them that it's grown in Hong Kong, and of course, knowing the fact that 98% of the produce is brought in from other areas, other countries,
right.
Then you realize that growing local resonates a lot with them.
Right.
In Malaysia, freshness is important, but price is also very important. So that whole local proposition is not as doesn't resonate as strongly here in Malaysia. I would like to say that we are a lot more logical here in Malaysia. So we focus a lot on sharing why eating a bag of our produce has more nutrition than others, and why if we let our family and our children consume our produce, it's a lot better for them.
Right. But kale is the hot favorite for all these cities.
Yes. Kale is not just known to be difficult to grow, but it's also difficult to eat. Many people complain that it's very bitter. So the magic of our controlled environment is that we are able to alter it so that we can make changes to the attributes of the crops. This is not true genetic modification. This
is
true environmental modification.
Right.
And we find ways to stress them or make them relax. And those are ways that can make the crops more tender and also less bitter. So those are some of the ability or technology that we have on hand to get produced to be more, a little bit more tasty and palatable, so that consumers, eat it not just because it's nutritious, but because it tastes good.
Okay, yes. So not genetically modified, environmentally enhanced, as you were saying. Any final thoughts, Jack, moving forward, plans to Sustainer?
I think we have a big ambition to improve the lives of our consumers. But at the same time, what we are seeing is that this is a very new industry all over again. Agritech is very much a sunrise industry all over again. Mm-hmm. I see food resilience as very, very important right now. And I think we have experienced supply chain disruptions across all the cities that we operate in. So food security is very important. So firstly, I would like to encourage listeners to give local produce a try, especially the indoor grown ones. I think you can taste some of the difference, especially versus the imported produce. That's number one. And number two, I think, having a career in the vertical farming space is very exciting as well. Green fingers are optional. But heart is compulsory. So we look forward to having more people enter this industry or even more delighted if they were to join Sustainer's movement, be it as a consumer or as a colleague. I think we are on this very profound journey to do good for consumers, for people, and for planet, one leaf at a time.
One leaf at a time. And I know the other thing as well, I just want to add carbon footprint, right? If you can get your produce a lot closer to you, actually, you know, helping with the carbon footprint. Thanks for spending your time with us. I've been speaking to Jack Moy from Sustainer. You've been listening to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Are you open for business? Register your company with BossBelay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.